front row, thinking, okay, well, Pastor Rick isn't here, so who's bringing the word? Clive has left behind the piano and he's made himself comfortable over there. So it's not Clive again. Could be Angela. Could it be Angela? Well, I have a mic in my hand. It's not me. Who do we think? We think it's Bobby. We're close. We are close. Actually, you know what? I think since we've called Bobby, Bobby, could you come to the front here, please? You welcome Bobby as he comes up. So Bobby isn't preaching, but he is going to announce and introduce the man who is.
Praise the Lord, church, after a long time. Bear with me. I would like to introduce a friend of ours from Malaysia. In our missions, in our spiritual life, in our church work, traveling all over the world, I met many people. But here is somebody who is unique. Why he is unique? It's very easy to do some ministry in Canada or America or any Christian country. It's very easy. But to do Christian work in a Muslim country, in Malaysia, is a different ball game altogether. The government doesn't help. The situation, the laws are not conducive. It's not easy. There are particular laws and things against Christians, but despite of all these things, we have a couple. They are Tamils. They speak Tamil. That's what I mean. They are Tamils. And they come from a Hindu family. They were not born into some Christian family. And they were both from a very poor background. When I went to Malaysia, and I accidentally, another pastor took them there to their place, I was shocked. Two things. Pastor, his name is Terence. His other name is Sinadura. You can call him Pastor Sinadura or Terence. And his wife, Sister Kamala. He is one of the senior most pastors in Malaysia, who started Bible colleges and formed more than 100 pastors who are pastoring all over Asia now. And congregation is more than 1,000 people. And the churches are running 5 different languages, in Chinese, in Malay, English, Tamil, completely different things. These are churches. But I would like to speak about his wife. How many of you know a man called Noah in the Bible? We all know Noah. Okay. He did something. What did he do? He built an ark. Good, good. And he went into the ark with how many people? 8 people. Who are the people? You know the names. So tell the names. If I'm Bobby, you don't tell brother, tell Bobby. Tell the names. Who, first man is Noah. He was in the ark. Okay, who else? Sorry? Ham? Shem? Who else? Sorry? Who else? In the 8 people, who are the others? His wives. The Bible says Noah is the most righteous man, but nobody knows his wife's name. Am I right? Does anybody know Mrs. Noah? Nobody knows. These 3 guys, they have wives. Does the Bible says about any of their wives? No. It's only men's game. But after the service, you can speak to her. When I went to Malaysia and when I saw this children's home they operate, it's like half of Northy Park Hospital. I was stunned the size of it. But not a single penny come from the Malaysian government or from anything. If it is a breakfast time, they pray, and somehow God provides the breakfast. They don't have a bank account. They don't have some trust, something, big money coming from here. They are none of that thing. I don't know how that lady operates. She got two kids and she operates. During my visit, she never sat in a chair to talk to us even. All the time something, somebody calling, working. And we are privileged here to have Pastor Terence to bring us the word of God. Shall you give him a hand?
You okay? Yes. Thank you, Brother Bobby. I'm really thankful to God for Bobby and Chitra for the important commitments that Cornelius made, and which resulted in three blessings. Of course, the blessings of Cornelius were different. That was what he needed. But today your blessing may be different. You may have different needs in your life. And the same God who blessed Cornelius can also bless you. Whatever your need may be. And as the words at the back say, nothing is impossible with God. Okay? God can do anything. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Verses, we will read verses 1 to 3 first. Or maybe verses 6, 1 to 6. There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion, or what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. At about 3 in the afternoon, he distinctly saw in a vision an angel of God who came in and said to him, Cornelius, looking intensely at him, he became afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he told him, your prayers and your acts of charity have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Verse 7, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, he called two of his household slaves and a devout soldier who was one of those who attended him. After explaining everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your living word. We thank you, Lord, that from your word we can always glean and see important lessons and truths for our daily life. Lord, I pray for this congregation, O God. I pray, Master, for your hand upon them. Bless them. Help them to hear. And may your word, Lord, fall upon good soil. And may the word, Lord, pour into their hearts, Father. And may they receive it, Lord, as a dry ground soaks up the waters. So I pray, Lord, that they will also soak up these words of and build faith in their lives, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, many of us, we want blessings. But we want it without any commitment. You know, if we want God to bless us, there must be a certain measure of commitment from us. Okay, if there is no commitment, then there is no blessings. We want blessing easily and fast sometimes. I don't know whether, I'm sure you have instant noodles here. In Malaysia, instant noodles are quite popular. And I used to eat instant noodles a lot before, nearly 10 years ago. But after that, I heard that they are not so good for health, so I've stopped eating. But once in a while, I still like it. It's very tasty. We have very many flavors. One of them is curry flavor. and one of them, another one is a sour flavor, and it's very nice. Sometimes when you make it itself, your tongues will water already, and it will salivate. And so that's instant. You can get it done in 3 minutes. You can eat it. Very tasty. Even you can't get that kind of taste in the shop, even in the restaurant. And so some people want blessings like that. Instant blessings. Without any commitment. So they think by coming to the altar and asking the speaker to lay hands and pray for them, they will get their blessings. It doesn't work that way. You can give your head to any number of people. The blessings will not come. Because God sees our hearts. Amen. God sees. God wants to see our hearts. God wants to see our actions. And some get blessings, but they don't want Jesus. We recently had an evangelistic meeting, a healing meeting. And before the speaker came, I told the congregation this story. Because I know there are the sick people who came, there are people who came in wheelchairs. Some of them were healed, deaf. A deaf boy who was deaf for 15 years. He got his hearing. And previous to that, the same speaker, he came and he also prayed for people and they got healed. There was one man who was for 40 years, he couldn't even bend down. He got healed instantly. You know? So, I told the congregation, the new people who came, it's important for you to receive Jesus. Don't just come for the healing. You can get your healing, but if you do not have Jesus, you can get back your sickness. Okay? So in Malaysia, when you go to a restaurant, when you eat certain food, I don't know whether you have heard of dosa. Dosa, you heard of dosa? You have heard, huh? In some countries, when you buy dosa, you have to pay for the curry also, or the sambal, or the chutney, or whatever it is. You have to, because you eat the dosa with that. But in Malaysia, when you go for dosa or whatever, other food. when you buy thosai, let's say thosai, along with thosai, they give you free curry to touch and eat. Free curry. And so here was one man who went to an Indian restaurant and he asked him, how much is the thosai? The guy says, 80 cents, Malaysian money, 80 cents. How much is the curry? Curry is free, he said. So the man said, give me the curry, I don't want thosai. Because the curry is free. So the shopkeeper said, no, if you buy the thosai, then the curry is free. The curry doesn't come free. So in the same way, Christ is like the thosai. You know, if you take Christ, everything else is free. Amen. If you only want healing and don't want Christ, then you don't get it. Okay? So in the same way, today, we must draw close to Christ. Okay, we must believe in Christ. And we must keep believing in Christ all the days of our life. Amen. Today, Europe is suffering in a sense. Homes are suffering. There is no Jesus in homes. There is no Jesus in people's lives. God is out of the equation. God is not important in many people's lives and homes. And because it is such, the devil has allowed other people to come and rule over them. So today, the Church of Jesus Christ, not only in Malaysia, but also in Europe, must turn to Jesus and have Jesus in our hearts and in our homes and in our churches. And we must not only have them, we must share them. We must share Christ. We must speak about Christ. We must live for Christ. We must touch other people with Christ. Back in our church, I used to pastor a church that had 1,000 people. I took the church when it had about 50 people only, just English section only. Then when I became the pastor of the church, I started a Tamil service. Not knowing how to speak Tamil very well, I started this Tamil service. And then the following year, I started a Chinese service. And then a Malay service. And so the church grew to about 1,000. I left the church nearly 20 years ago. Today I'm pastoring another smaller church. Many of the children from the home's children come there to worship. The staff come there. And some of the community people come there. So even at this time, I do go tracting. I do go witnessing. I go to the streets. I don't have a proper office. My office is in the streets. My office is in the coffee shops. I purposely go to the coffee shop, sit down there, just to meet people, talk to them. I go to the streets. If I see somebody talking to them, if the guy says he's sick, I straight away, on the street itself, I pray for them. I witness to them. I think we must take this church to the streets. The church must be a witnessing church. We cannot be just sitting down here all the time, hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God. And there are people, so many outside, they never heard. Never mind. You know, when I was in Bible college, my pastor sent me to a village, a Chinese village. It was 90% Chinese. And I don't know how to speak Chinese. Even till today, I don't know. Just know a few words of Chinese, Mandarin. But I went to this village, not knowing how to speak the language, don't know the culture, whatever. And by faith, I rented a building. And I thought there was a church also. There was already a church in the village. And I thought, let me go and talk to the pastor of the church just to introduce myself, to say that I'm coming into this village to start a church, a courtesy call. And when I went and saw her, as a lady pastor, she said she has only about 20 people, all old people. The young people don't want to believe in Jesus. So I said, my pastor sent me into this village to start a church. I was first year in Bible college. And the first question she asked me is, can you speak Chinese? I said, sorry, I don't know how to speak Chinese. He says it's very difficult for you to start a church in this village. Firstly, you don't know how to speak Chinese. Secondly, your skin is black. The Chinese people here won't receive you. They won't want to listen to you. So, I said, I was very discouraged after talking to her. I thought she'll welcome me. I thought she will say, praise the Lord and lay hands and pray for me. She never did any of those things. But she discouraged me. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who encouraged me. He said, never mind, you go and start. Listen to your pastor. Actually, my pastor must come. He's Chinese. My pastor is Chinese. He speaks the dialect of the village. But he didn't come. He asked me to go. And so I was just with a fellow helper from my mother church. We're putting the signboard, give direction to where the church is. And some university students who are from the nearby university were passing by. And they saw us putting the sign and they said, oh, pastor, you're having a church here, brother, he said. And I introduced myself as a pastor. And they said, we have been waiting for a spirit-filled church, he said. And so they said, we will come and help you, he said. Thank God. So, you know, when we venture into something for God, God will help us. Yes. Hallelujah. But if you simply stay still, not doing anything, nothing happens. Nothing will happen. But when you venture by faith and in obedience, God also will send help for us. And so, These fellows came and said, Pastor, we will give tuition in your church. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day we will have tuition. English tuition, math tuition, Malay tuition, whatever subjects that are taught in school. We know some young people in this village, and we will invite them for the tuition. We'll charge them very low fees. But on Saturday, we will have a youth meeting and you preach. On Saturday also, we will have tuition. Immediately after tuition, you preach. So that's what they did. So they had a roster. And each one of them took turns to teach. And on Saturday, there was a tuition class. And immediately after the tuition was my turn to preach the word of God. So I preached. And these young people got saved. One by one. That pastor said, we have been here for 20 years. We have only 20 old people. All the young people don't want to believe in Jesus. But in our church, the young people believed in Jesus Christ. All Chinese children. Praise the Lord. I was there only for 3 years. Less than 3 years. 2 years, seven months. Because after my graduation from Bible College, I left the village already. I decided there must be somebody who knows how to speak Chinese in this place. Since I cannot speak Chinese, I better leave. So I passed it to a Chinese pastor and I left. But you know, when I left, my wife was there. We just got married also. And so when we left the church, we had about 50 people. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of young people. And we also started a Chinese service for the children's parents who got saved. Hallelujah. So you see, when we make a venture in God, He will answer prayers. So today we need to go out, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Your church has potential. Your church has the people. You are energetic. And God can use you. God can bless you. Don't just think of blessings for ourselves. Think of God's blessing upon the church, upon the community. And you know, when I was in that village church I was talking about, I never even brought one soul to the Lord. I didn't even bring one soul. But every seminar, Bible college holidays, every weekend, I will carry tracts with me, go and visit as many houses as possible and give Chinese tracts. I don't know what is written there, but I know it's a testimony. It's a testimony of Dr. Paul Cho Yong-gi, or David Cho Yong-gi now. He has changed his name. Cho Yong-gi. You know Cho Yong-gi? Paul Cho, Yong-gi Cho. His testimony, translated in Chinese, I put them in every house, nearly few thousands of houses I've been to. It was very difficult in this Chinese village to find an English speaking person. I can only speak English and a little bit of Malay and Tamil. And so it's very difficult to find English speaking, because I want to talk to English speaking people. So you know what I did? I would go to the newsstand and wait at the place there to see who buys English newspaper. So whoever buys English newspaper, I will follow them on my bicycle to see where they stay. I've got involved in arguments. I shouldn't have argued with them. And that guy, the Chinese man, will ask me, you know, these Chinese people, they are very stubborn. They will not believe in Jesus, especially the Chinese educated people. They are very communist minded. And they will ask me, if I believe in your Jesus, do you think I get food in my table? Who will put food for my table? Put on my table. Can I tell him that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? He will not understand that. But we know God sees our faithfulness. God sees our faithfulness. When we go out and give these tracts, God sends people to the church. God sees our faithfulness and He sends the people. As I said, I never even brought one soul to the Lord when I was in this village, but 50 old people got saved. But once they come to church, I talk to them about the Lord. Once my church members bring these new people, I will never leave them alone. I will talk to them. I will witness to them. I will lead them in prayer. In that way, from this small church, nearly five of them are pastors today. Five of them have become pastors. And from this one church, there are three other churches in the village. It's a very big village, Chinese village. So, if we have Christ in our hearts, we must share this Christ. Okay? And God will bless, God will multiply, and God will make it grow. So let's come to this three important commitments of Cornelius. The first commitment that we see here is he was a devout man. He was a devout man. Cornelius, as you know, from the scriptures here, it says he's an army captain, a centurion. A centurion is one who is in charge of 100 soldiers. He was in the Roman army. He was not a believer. He was not a Christian. Okay? But he believed in God. He believed in the God of the Jews. He believed in the God of the Jews. He believed in Jehovah. He's a layman, like many of you. How many of you are full-time pastors here? Anybody? So no full-time pastor. Part-time pastor. Very good. So most of you are lay people. So you can identify yourself with Cornelius. Okay? Cornelius was like you. He had a job. He's an army captain. He had 100 soldiers under him. And yet, he was devoted to God. Okay? He's not even a church leader or a deacon. But he was very committed to God. The Bible tells us that he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. Now today we need fathers and mothers who will make their families a devout family. Today fathers come to church, mothers come to church, the children don't come to church. Why? I see some of you have brought your children and they've gone to Sunday school. Praise the Lord for you. Keep them coming. Bring them. Sometimes there's too much of freedom in the family. So much so we just let the children do what they like. I've heard one father say, you know, I'm very broad-minded. I'm very broad-minded. I don't force my children what religion to follow. Let them become 21, let them choose. 21, let them choose. 21, they'll be gangsters. They'll be drug addicts. If you have a garden, if you have a garden in front of your house, do you let the garden grow as it is? I'm very broad-minded. I let my garden grow as it is, as what they want. You got weeds. You got flowers. Summer flowers, winter flowers. Let them grow. Do you do that to your garden? No, you tend your garden. You take care of it. You plant it. You remove the weeds. You plant flowers. You got to take care of it. Our children are like garden. They're plants. They need to be guided. They need to be taught right from small. They need to be brought to church. Bible tells us, teach your children when they are young, so that when they are old, they will not depart from the truth. So parents told me, so broad-minded. Don't say I let my children choose what religion they want. If you know Jesus is the truth, why you want to let them choose what religion they want? Why you want to let them choose? Some of the children who come to our homes, to the orphanage, they're all from, many of them are Hindu backgrounds, and Buddhist, Chinese ancestor worshippers. We don't baptize anybody below the age of 18. They believe in God. They all know how to pray. They know how to read the Bible. Some of them are talented. We give them opportunities for them to play musical instruments. Today, some of those who have left our homes are in some churches playing music. They're playing guitar, they're playing keyboard. They're teaching in Sunday school. They're church committee members. Because we guided them. We don't force them. Just before I came, some Hindu people are making noise. They say these Christian homes, they're taking our Hindu children and making them, converting them to Christ. We don't. Because that's our desire. Okay? But we don't baptize them. Once they leave our home, there are some who don't even go to church. But the word of God has fallen in good hearts. And so they remain. One of them is already in Bible college. One of them. This 35 years, I was very happy. Because one of them is going to Bible college to study. So be devout, parents. Happy to see you today in church. I'm sure there are parents here. Don't be happy with where you are. Draw closer to God. Amen. Draw nearer to God. Bring your families closer to God. Because your devotedness will reach up to heaven. That's what we saw in God's word today. Okay. Let's look at it again. In verse 5 or 6, I think. I got to put my spectacles because the verse number is not coming properly. Okay. Verse 4. It says, and he told him, the angel told him, your prayers and your acts of charity have come up as a memorial before God. Hallelujah. Your devotedness, your acts of charity, and your prayers. Three things. As I said, three important commitments. Some of you have not received your miracles. Some of you have not got your prayers answered because your prayers have not reached up to God. Because your acts of charity has not gone up there yet. Your devotedness to God is very shallow. It has not gone up yet. For God to act, these things must go up. You must go up to heaven, to the place of God. See, this is said over and over again. Okay? After Cornelius had heard this message from God, from the angels, he sends three of his men, two slaves and one his bodyguard maybe, a soldier. He sends them to Peter. And when they reach to Peter, you know what they said to Peter about Cornelius? Verse 22. So they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who has a good reputation with the Jewish nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to call you to his house to hear a message from you. Look at what his workers are saying about Cornelius. His own slaves, workers in his house, and a soldier who is assigned to him. What a good impression they have about their boss. Sometimes we hear church members complaining about their bosses. My boss is a terrible fellow. My boss is useless. My boss is, I feel like killing him. You know, what is your opinion of your boss? What do you think about your boss? Some of us don't have good opinion. Very few people say good things about their bosses. If you are a boss, if you are a boss, if you are a manager, supervisor, if you are an employer, what will your workers tell about you? Do they have good things to say about you? Look at what these workers of Cornelius have to say about him. Cornelius, a centurion, an upright. They're telling Peter about this. They're telling Apostle Peter. What are they saying? He's an upright man and God-fearing man who has a good reputation. Hallelujah. Do you have good reputation? Are you upright? Are you God-fearing? Do other people know about it? If people cannot say that you have good reputation, there's something wrong with you. How can God answer your prayers? You must have good reputation. You must be upright. In the house, outside the house, in the working place, in the church, anywhere. You know, God doesn't simply throw His blessings upon us like throwing pearls before the swine. He is careful on whom He wants to give His blessings. Cornelius himself, when Peter comes into the house, he tells Peter in verse 30. Cornelius tells to Peter, 4 days ago at this hour, at 3 PM, I was praying in my house. Just then, a man in dazzling robe stood before me and said, Cornelius, your prayers has been heard and your acts of charity has been remembered in God's sight. Okay. These three things. Prayers, acts of charity. So, firstly, brothers and sisters, take care of your spiritual life. Be devoted to God. Be God-fearing. Bring up your children in the fear of God. Father must be devout. Mother must be devout. Lead your family in daily prayers. Family altars must be had. Read the Bible. Get your children to memorize scriptures. Our children these days memorize all these pop songs, you know, Michael Jackson songs and all the other songs, but they do not know the Word of God. They don't know where is the book of Malachi. They do not know. They do not know where is Esther, book of Esther and things like that. But they do know all these songs. They know all about football players, soccer players. They know all about the football clubs and which players playing for which club they know. All the players' names they know. But the Bible books they do not know. Fathers also don't know. How can the children know? Mother doesn't know. Our Sunday school children know more than the parents sometimes. This has to change. Amen? This has to change. The home is like a mini church. The home has to be like a mini church. Father, you are the pastor. Mommy, you are the assistant pastor. There is also a problem in the house. No, maybe we won't go into that. Secondly, the second commitment of Cornelius is very interesting. He gave generously to those in need. Now, every time you give to some people generously, it goes up there. Okay, it goes up there. When God's heart is touched, He will touch you. Amen? When God's heart is touched because of you, He's not going to keep quiet. He will do something for you. He will search, what can I do for you? In what way can I touch you and your family? Is what he will question. So, be a giving man. He's always looking. God is always looking for the poor. Don't go and give all your money to rich people. Don't do kindness to the rich. Show kindness to the poor and needy and destitute. And God's heart is touched. Proverbs 19:17 says, note that down, you may need this verse. Proverbs 19:17 says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will bless him abundantly. Okay? When you give to the poor and needy, you are lending to God. You know, God has a special love for the poor. God has a special love for the poor. And so when you show your love to that poor, won't God love you? God will surely love you. I saw one mother having a baby just now. You have a baby there, sister? Somebody had a baby here. Okay, we've gone back. Okay, let's imagine. Who has got a baby? You have a baby, or you had a baby, or you have a baby before? Okay, she has had a baby before. Okay, the baby is coming. Oh. When I wanted you, you're not around. Okay, the mom loves this baby. What if I have so special interest on this baby? If I were to buy a gift for this baby, if I were to carry this baby, play with this baby all the time, mother would like me or not? Huh? Wouldn't she like me? Sure she would like me. It's the same way. This baby represents the poor. So if I show love to the poor, God will surely love me. Thank you, sister. God will surely love me. Amen? So, show love to the poor and needy, and God will bless. Hallelujah. Now there are, we can give alms, we can show love, we can give to various places. But what I want you to do, what God impresses upon me, share with you is this. I may not be able to finish my sermon, but very fast I will go. Giving is part of Christian faith. You can never escape. Okay, you can never escape that. Our God is a giving God. He gave his only begotten Son into the world. Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gave us gifts. Amen? Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And we are saved because of somebody's giving. Somebody gave you a tract. Somebody brought you to Jesus. Somebody passed a baton to you. Now you have to pass a baton to somebody else. That's love. I'm standing here today because of a Chinese man from Singapore who studied in Bible College in Malaysia. And he came to my house knocking at the door when I was 14 years old. And he gave me a tract and he prayed for me. He told me I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. He just said a prayer for me. He led me in a sinner's prayer and he went. That prayer is powerful. Amen. For 6 months, I never went to church. He invited me to church. I never went to church. But that prayer is powerful. He never knew when he spoke to me that I'll be a pastor one day. I'll be pastoring the very church that he started. The very church that he pioneered. I pastored the church for 23 years. He would never have known when I was 14 years old when he gave the tracts to me and prayed for me. So when you pray for people in the streets or anywhere, you do it by faith. It's up to God to do the work. Hallelujah. So let's be giving people. Give our faith away. Freely you have received. Freely give, the Bible tells us. Okay? So give. Give your tithes. Why argue with God over your tithes? Huh? Give your tithes to God. I used to give 10%. God spoke to my heart and said, give 20%. So I'm giving 20% now. Whatever income I receive, 20% to God. And I do it faithfully. From the time I was 19 years old until today, I'm 69. 50 years? For 50 years, I've been giving my tithes unbroken. Every month, I've been giving my tithes. My wife has some struggle giving tithes to God. But she lost the battle with God. And she started giving faithfully now. You know, sometimes we talk about tithes, church members don't like. You know? That's what I heard. Some members don't like when the pastor talks about tithing. But it's your choice. Nobody forces you to give. Nobody forces you. Nobody forced me to give for 50 years. Every month. God has blessed my ministry, our ministry. As my wife said, we need how many thousand? Huh? 35,000 pounds a week. A month. 35,000 pounds a month. Next month, where the 35,000 pounds is coming, we don't know. But God is faithful in providing. The God who provided yesterday will provide today and He'll provide tomorrow. Hallelujah. We needed 6.5 million to build up this 4.2 acre piece of land. Nearly 10 buildings in that place. Some people pass by, they say, they think this is a college. Our home is a college, they think. We never took a bank loan. Everything provided by God. Hallelujah. You know why? Because we have laid up treasures in heaven. We have laid up treasures in heaven. God hears our prayers. Because we are devout, we are God-fearing, we pray. And He reaches up into heaven. So the choice is yours. Jesus says, give to Caesar what is due to Caesar and give to God what is due to God. To Caesar, you faithfully give. To your government, you faithfully give. But when it comes to giving to God, you argue. I remember preaching in a church in Australia about giving also. At the end of the day, end of my preaching, one member saw me outside the church and said, Pastor, what do you think about me? I'm giving my tithes to the poor people. Is it wrong? You say must give to the church, but I give to the poor people. What is wrong? I give my tithes to India, to a ministry in India, he says. So I asked him, suppose you're having a restaurant. Your restaurant is thriving very well. Your restaurant is doing very well. A customer comes and eats in your restaurant. And then he sees your restaurant so prosperous and so nice. And across the road, he sees another restaurant, no customers. Can he say, I eat in your shop, the money I give there? Would you be happy? When paying time, I go there and pay because his business is no good. Your business is so good. I eat here. Can you do that? Bring all your tithes and offerings to the storehouse of God, that there may be meat in the house. Okay? You get your food here. Keep what is due here. You can help India if you want. You can help China if you want to. That's extra. Don't take your tithes and give there. Or pay double tithes. 20%. 10% here, 10% somewhere else. So give to God. Give to God's work. Give to the poor. Give to orphans. Give to needy. Give to the widows. Give to old folks. Give to the homeless. God loves this. And God will bless you. Hallelujah. Give to missions. I saw the man standing here for Uganda. I wanted to give you a church, but then the Holy Spirit told me, give him some. So I gave some to Uganda also. Did you give to Uganda? Give if you want to. Give to missions. You know, God is, you know, when God wants to bless us, when God wants to bless us, He will test us. I went through this test once. I was preaching in a church, a very big church. I was preaching for missions. Sometimes I'm invited by some churches to talk about giving. I'm late already, I think. Huh? Time's up. Huh? I'll finish the story. I'll finish. Carry on. Very good. I'm already hungry. I was preaching in this church about missions and giving to the work of God. After that, they will take a pledge. Do you all do that in your church? Taking a pledge for missions. In this church, they did that. The members fill up a card, and many Assemblies of God churches do this. Because I come from an Assemblies of God background. And so, after preaching, I went and sat down. The pastor took over the service, and he was helping the members to fill up the pledge card, how much you have to pledge and all the stuff. So while I was sitting down there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, now you take a card, you also fill up. I said, Lord, this is not my church. I'm just a guest speaker. I'm already pledging in my church already. My church also gives to missions. I'm already pledging. And now you want me to pledge in this church. This is not my church. God said, never mind. You're not giving to this church. You're giving to me, he said. You're giving to me, he said. So I took a card from the pastor and I filled up the card and I gave. I pledged. Normally I don't tell, but because you're good people, I tell you. I pledged Malaysian ringgit 300. Conversion? 60. 60 pounds only. I pledged 60 pounds. So I put the pledge card into the offering bag and the Holy Spirit spoke to me again. He said, next time any church invites you for missions, you pledge there also. He said. I said, God, this is too much. This is too much, God. I'm already giving in my church. I'm giving my tithes. I'm giving for missions in my church. And then now I've just pledged here. And then you tell me to give in any church that invites me. That year, 4 churches invited me. And in 4 churches, I made a similar pledge. Made a similar pledge. The following year, 4 churches. Even till today, this happened 10 years ago. This happened. Even till today, whenever I'm invited to preach in a church for missions, I have to pledge. Because God has ordered me, commanded me already. So I'm still following what God has said. So the following year, 4 churches I preached and I pledged. I fulfilled it. Some people make pledges but never fulfill. I don't know if you are like that or not. You have to make a pledge. You have to fulfill your pledge. You must be serious with God. Amen? God is serious with us. He's got no time to play football with us. Okay? But you know what? The second year, a church invited me to preach in Singapore. I went to this church. But then, I was no more having church. I was just like an evangelist. And we were living by faith. We don't take salary from the home. And so, we had no salary. But this church invited us. We went to Singapore to preach. After the preaching, my wife, I think, shared testimony. My children sang songs. And I preached. After the preaching, the pastor took over the pulpit and said, congregation, this pastor is living by faith. And we want to collect an offering for him. We want to bless them. And so they collected an offering. You don't have to do that today, please. Sometimes I don't like to tell the story. But I'm getting salary now. From the church where I'm pastoring, I got a salary. So you don't have to collect offering. So we want to collect an offering for them. And you know, they collected an offering. And how much it came to? Singapore, 30,000. Singapore, 30,000. I gave only 300, God gave 30,000. Not only 30,000, God gave 60,000. Because Singapore money is double to Malaysia at that time. 60,000 Malaysian. Hallelujah. 30,000 is how much? 60,000 is how much? Okay, 12,000, I think. 12,000 pounds. 12,000 pounds offering. It's like striking a lottery like that. God spoke to me that day. He says, don't underestimate you. When I ask you to pay 300, when I ask you to pledge in this church, you say, no. When I ask you to pledge in other churches, you said, no, cannot. You gave excuses. But because you are faithful, I'm now blessing you. I'm now blessing you. I took tithes from there and helped a pastor in Kenya, my classmate in Bible college, to buy a motorbike. I went to Kenya to buy a motorbike for him. I don't know, motorbikes are so expensive in Kenya. Because the tithes money is not enough. I got to pay extra. So. So God is faithful. Hallelujah. The choice is yours. You want to be poor? Continue to be poor. Don't give. Keep everything for yourself. Hold on to everything. Take with you to heaven. Don't know whether you'll go to heaven or not in the first place. Just grab everything. But he who gives will not lack. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The blessing that we saw in Cornelius' life is that the first blessing we see is that he had an angel visit him. Okay, an angel visited him. Anybody got an angel visiting you? Cornelius had an angel visiting him. Because of his three commitments. Angel visited him. Peter visited him. Apostle Peter coming to his house. If your pastor comes to your house, you're happy or not? Wow, pastor visited my house. Pastor visited my house. We feel so happy. Here, it's not pastor. This is Apostle Peter visiting Cornelius' house. You seldom get apostle coming to your house. It's a blessing. Sometimes visit my Indian member's house. They tell me, Pastor, you coming is like Jesus coming to my house. See, that's how they think. Pastor coming to the house is like Jesus coming to the house. So he was blessed by Peter's visits. Thirdly, he was blessed by the Holy Spirit's visit in his house. You can check the Bible. Okay? Where it says, while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit came and fell upon his house. Verse 44. While Peter was still preaching these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. See? And they all spoke in tongues. While he was preaching in the house meeting, the Holy Spirit came down. What a visit. What a powerful visit by the Holy Spirit. All because of this man Cornelius. Today I pray that God will raise up more Cornelius from this congregation. Men who will pray. Men who will, you know, this prayer matter, we need to pray every day. Sometimes we pray in church, very good. But nothing God expects more is you and I individually praying to God. They call this word time alone with God. Every one of us need to spend time alone with God. At least half an hour, 15 minutes. Every day, we need to spend time alone with God. All this prayer in church, all is good. But it is not as good as if you will spend time with God alone. God wants that. A lot of people, Bible tells, someone told me today, someone told me the other day, he says, a lot of people today serving in the church, leaders, ministry leaders, don't pray at all. They only pray in church. They only pray in church. God doesn't want that. Cornelius prayed. He got his family to pray. And that made his prayers reach up to God. Shall we look to God in prayer? Thank you, Father. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. I believe God has spoken to your heart today. I believe you need a miracle. I believe you are going through struggles in your own life, your families. I believe you have problems for which you are expecting God to intervene and do a miracle. But let me tell you, try these three things. Try these three things. Be a devout man. Give a giving man. Be a man of prayer, woman of prayer. And see if God will not send his answers to you. Just as he did it to Cornelius, he will do for you. Hallelujah. I will pray with you. But you must pray also. How many of you here would say, Pastor, I want a miracle in my life. I've been trusting God for a miracle for all these days, all these years, all these months. Nothing seemed to happen. Try these three commitments. Just raise your hands. I will start you off in prayer. And you continue when you go back home. Hallelujah. I see your hands. Anybody else? You want a miracle from God? Father, you see, O Lord, these men and women raising their hands by faith. Some are desperate. Some are needy. Some want a miracle immediately. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will come and touch them, God. Come down to them just as you came down for Cornelius, O God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for miracles to be released, for answers to come. Hallelujah. Help them, Lord, to follow these three things, Lord, to give, to pray, and to be devoted. Help them to be good examples, upright, God-fearing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering their prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah.
Praise his name. Okay, church, as Pastor Rick would always say, hug 9 people. And please do meet with Pastor Terrence and just give him your love before you leave. Thank you.